Becca. Check. One, okay, two. Check.
All right, let's start the scrub.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley, an iHeartRadio podcast.
We are scrubbing in. And when I say we, I mean me, myself, and Easton.
That's right. That's right. It's a bare-bones scrub today. But we're scrubbing it nonetheless.
This isn't one of our more intricate surgeries. We didn't need too many hands on deck.
That's right. Regular run-of-the-mill, you know, quick outpatient type of thing.
Yeah, it's an outpatient procedure.
Exactly. But hopefully you don't miss Mark and Tanya too much because we're here.
Yeah, you have to remember, I don't know if you remember from two podcasts ago when Easton sang Hillary Duff songs, it made me realize he is Tanya in male form. And then you've also played Mark's role, so I feel confident about today.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a good time. I practiced reading emails all last night. My diction is excellent. My pacing is perfect. I think I'm ready for this responsibility.
I practiced last night, too. I went out, had a few drinks.
That's right.
Yeah, I practiced for today's podcast as well. But I do want to say I'm sorry I was not present on Monday's podcast I was there in spirit and on the phone, but I wasn't physically present. I got some DMs about it.
Oh, did you?
They were upset.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. You know, we do what we had to do.
But now they maybe can DM Tanya and Mark and show.
Exactly.
Share their disappointment.
You, at least, you called in.
Thank you.
They're nowhere to be found right now.
Yeah. Guess what, guys? No call from Tanya, no call from Mark.
Yeah.
But we do have a really fun show today. We have the some of the guys from The Sandlot on the show, which is super exciting. It's such an iconic movie.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be so cool.
I know. I'm like, Easton, I love everyone we have on this podcast. You like fangirl over.
Yeah, I know. That's why I took this job, actually, so I could meet my heroes. It's been 25 years of The Sandlot. That's insane.
I didn't realize it had been that long because I can't remember at what age I actually watched it, but I was only 4 when it came out. So I can't imagine I saw it when I was 4, you know? But that's what I'm thinking. Even years after it came out, when I saw it as a child, it was already iconic. Like, it had already made that mark on the film industry, I
exactly.
felt like.
It's one of those movies, I think, few people can remember the first time they saw it. It's just you've always been a fan of The Sandlot. You know?
Yeah, it's so true. I'm excited. I feel like you have some good questions for them, too.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those movies where as I grew up, I related to all these different, like, I related to squints quite a bit when I was a kid because I had glasses and I was very nerdy and I tricked a lot of girls into kissing me.
Did you fake drown yourself?
I didn't go that far, but I definitely used some other tricks that were just as despicable. But and then, you know, then as I got older, of course, I became a baseball superstar and I related more to Benny, which is where I am
obviously.
Now. Obviously.
The baseball superstar.
No, but it's going to be great. We're going to have Tom Geary. I hope I'm saying his last name correctly, who played Smalls. Victor, I got to check with these guys' last names. Victor DeMattia, who played Timmy Timmons, and Patrick Renna, who played Hamilton, or better known as Ham. Yeah. We're all going to be on the show today. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I know. I'm excited. And I'm excited to have multiple male guests because, you know, I love when we answer some emails or talk about life in general and have a male perspective because a lot of the times you and Mark are kind of overwhelmed by the female perspective and opinion. So it'll be fun to, I'm going to be the only girl in the room.
I know. I hope you can be able to handle this raw masculinity you're surrounded with.
I'll be okay. So I was in Charlotte, North Carolina this week and I was visiting one of my friends and she's currently touring the country. Her name's Haley Kiyoko and she is on like a North America tour. And so I went to Charlotte and we hung out and then she was like, why don't you stay and go on the tour bus and do like a day in the life type thing?
That is so cool.
Yeah, you know, I imagine the tour bus life being so glamorous and, you know, like, there's a room in the back that's hers, you know, I think there's 13 people who sleep on the bus every night, which when you really, everyone has a spot, like a bunk, but everyone trying to move around in the bus, it's very close quarters. When you go to the restroom, no one's allowed to go number two on the bus, which is a safe rule. I think smart.
I get it.
But even when you go just number one, I don't know if this is TMI, but you can't flush anything. So it's so I had a lot of anxiety about that.
That would give me a lot of anxiety.
Okay,
too.
Thanks. So yeah. I just was like, I think I'm just going to hold everything till I get to a building.
Wow.
So I probably have done internal damage to myself. But so when Haley first left and went on tour, I was like, how's it going? Like, how's the bus? And she was like, I haven't slept. It's so bumpy in the room where I sleep in the back. And so I moved myself up to one of the bunks in the front. So I knew that she didn't sleep back there. So when I was going to stay and ride the bus, I'm like, perfect. I'll have the whole bed in the back to myself. It's bigger than the regular bunks. I laid there just with my eyes open, staring at the ceiling, shaking back and forth, feeling like I was in an earthquake.
I kind of think it would rock you to sleep like you're in the womb or something.
That's
what
I thought too.
But not the case.
No, I love turbulence on airplanes.
Oh, me too. If I could go on an only turbulent flight, I would.
Wait, are you being serious?
I swear to God.
No,
I swear
too.
To God.
The only time I like really feel like I can relax and maybe fall asleep is when there's turbulence.
Wow.
You're the only other person I've ever talked to.
I love turbulence. And I always say, if I could just take off and land over and over, I would. I love that.
Are we okay?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a natural thing for someone to
like. This feels kind of dark. But I do like that you agree with me. But so that's what I thought too. I'm like, that's when she was talking about how bad it was. I'm like, that seems dramatic. I like movement. It's not like that.
How big was the bed? Was it like a twin, a full?
It's like a little bit smaller than a twin. Or maybe it was the size of a twin. But it had like a Tempur-Pedic like cover on it. So
all right.
If the bus was still, ideal. But then... she was like, if you want to, you can sleep in my bunk with me. And I go and I look at the bunk and it is literally half of a twin bed. I'm like, there's no chance two people are sleeping in here.
Very cozy.
And I like to have space when I sleep. So, it was fun, a great experience, but I don't see myself touring the country anytime soon for many reasons, but that's one of them.
Yeah, you know, Tanya has been on tour buses before, and she would always talk about like, oh my God, it's the greatest thing.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. And I'm like, okay, what's it really like though, you know?
Tanya, the fact that she said that was cute makes me question everything. Because I get the experience of like, oh, it's fun. Like, and I'm assuming once you sleep on it so many times, you get used to it.
Exactly.
But cute isn't the word I would go for.
That is one thing I do remember hearing from her. It was the bathroom. She's told me the same thing. Like, you always want to hold it until you get to like
a building.
A building. Yeah, a structure.
Right. A structure. But speaking of Tanya, she's been on 3 dates now.
That's right.
With Dr. W.
It's getting very serious.
Very serious. She says he doesn't listen to the morning show, which she talks about it quite a bit on there.
She does.
And I think goes into some detail on there, so he is listening.
Yeah, she's very lucky he doesn't listen.
But it brings up such an interesting thing in my head because it is her job in a sense. And there's a lot of times where I feel like I'm required to share so much of my life, but then I have to take a step back and think like, what am I protect? Like I have to protect some things because
some things need to be sacred, you know?
Right. But I do think that there's some, I mean, the fact that so many people are so invested in her dating life, 3 dates with this guy and people are like planning her wedding pretty much. It's really fun to watch.
It is fun to watch. I'm really impressed with how she's handling it because I remember like when I started dating someone very early on, it felt like the world was on my shoulder. Like there was a lot of pressure, you know, and like I was the only one that knew about it.
Yeah.
And I could imagine if there was like thousands of other people like weighing in and like,
I know,
you know, invested in this and giving you their opinions and everything.
I think I know that's the thing. You have to be open to realizing if you're talking about it, that everyone's going to have an opinion.
Exactly.
Well, with everything.
Yeah.
I've realized if I'm going to post something that even something that I wouldn't think would like require an opinion, a difference of opinion, you still have to be prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the other day I posted a song, a 1975 song. You may have seen it on my Instagram.
Oh yeah.
And then the playlist, I just happened to click on a playlist on Spotify, and it's called Down in the Dumps or something.
I saw, whenever someone posts a screenshot from Spotify, I look at what playlist they're playing from, because people don't realize it shows that.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
And I love seeing, like, songs to poop to and things like that, and it's very funny. I saw Down in the Dumps.
Yeah, I was not down in the dumps. In fact, I'm in a very good place mentally and emotionally, but I do love sad music. Like, sometimes, even if I've had the best day, I like to light a candle and put some sad songs on and just bask in it.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice to just, like, take that head on, you know what I mean?
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Do you have any plans for Father's Day?
You know, I saw my dad a couple weeks ago. My parents live in Northern California.
Okay.
So I don't live nearby. So we kind of did a father's, his birthday is in May. So we did like a birthday Father's Day thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when I'm going to see him next, but I will be giving him a call and sending him a gift.
Mm-hmm.
But what about you though? Cause you don't live near your parents either.
I know, it's really hard. I was going to go back to Florida where my parents live after I was in North Carolina and Virginia, but I haven't seen them in a while. And so I was going to have to be back for my sister's birthday. So it was going to be a very quick trip. And I was like, it's almost a tease to go for just a couple days and then have to turn around. So, and then I leave for Costa Rica on Sunday. So I'm kind of a busy time. The summers are a little crazy, but I'm going to try and go back in July and stay for a little bit longer. So...
When you go back home, how long do you usually stay?
I mean,
I guess it all depends, right?
It depends. I try to stay at least like 5 days if I can.
Yeah. And is that Louisiana?
Yeah. Florida.
Florida. Oh, that's
but
right.
But you know, everyone's kind of spread out. So sometimes I go to Louisiana because that's where my sister and my nephews live. And then my parents are in Florida. So we try, they're close enough where like, either my parents can drive to my sister or my sister can drive to my parents. So I just need to get to the South is basically what happens.
So once you even like go home, then there's still more traveling to be done. So a lot of walking around probably.
Yeah. Tons of walking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of shoes do you usually wear for that?
Comfortable shoes.
Oh, it's a must.
Yeah. It's a must. Which actually brings us to our first sponsor of the podcast, Rothy's. They are the flats that we have talked about before on the show. They're made from recycled plastic water bottles, which seems so crazy.
Yeah.
But they're stylish, they're sustainable, they're comfortable enough for everyday wear, whether you're walking in an airport, walking around carrying your nephews, basically what I do when I do go home. They're everyday flats for life on the go. They're super stylish, they're comfortable, they come in three styles. They have the flat, the point, and the loafer. The loafers are so cute. The color and pattern selection is amazing. They're always updating their lineup. They launch new colors all the time, every few weeks, and they sell out constantly. So if you go on the website and you like one of the shoes, I say order them now.
Yeah, get them while you can. The thing that I think is really cool about these is when you say these shoes are made of recycled water bottles, I always just picture a bottle of water cut in half with a shoestring through
Easton,
it.
Easton, we're the same mind.
But no, these are very nice shoes. I mean, they probably don't make them in my size, but these are real, just, you would never know they were made of recycled water bottles. I think it's so cool.
And they're super soft. And you think of water bottles, you don't think of soft.
Exactly.
But however they do it, they're literally the softest shoe you'll put on your feet. So you can feel good about wearing them because they're made from something good.
Exactly. You know, you recycle, reuse, and close the loop.
And guess what?
What?
They're machine washable.
No.
So, yeah.
So if you're stomping around in the bayou and you get mud all over them, you can toss those suckers in the...
I literally can throw them in the washer.
That's insane. I love that.
Yeah.
Because you can't do that with every pair of shoes. And things become delaminated. I used to be in the shoe industry. I know all about this. But these suckers, you are durable, machine washable, and they look good.
And they look good. I love my Rothy's. I know you guys will love them too. Right now, Rothy's has an amazing deal for our listeners. Use code Becca to get free shipping on Use code Becca to get free shipping. There's no minimum. So free shipping, free returns and exchanges on your Rothy's shoe. And trust me, you're probably not going to return them. feel good about that. Go to Rothys.com. That's Rothys.com and enter Becca to get your cute shoes and free shipping. It's a no-brainer. The shoes that are comfortable, stylish, and sustainable, and there's free shipping. Get you a pair. You're gonna do Becca with me, right?
I've been waiting for this. I'm really excited. You never let me do it in the past. This is my moment.
Okay, get yourself a pair of shoes today from Rothys.com. Get this deal while it lasts. Go to Rothys.com and use promo code
Becca.
Wow.
That felt really good. Now
we've really been holding out not using you for that.
Well,
our three-part harmony.
I've always wanted to chime in. When I'm at home listening, I always do it along with you guys. But when I'm in here, I try to hold myself back. What I'm really excited about is we could have a nice full choral sound on the next one.
You're so right.
Because we're going to have the guys from the Sandlot coming in right now.
The best thing is that our next sponsor is a tampon commercial. So I can't wait to have all the guys chime in with me on that one.
That's going to be a home run.
Wow, way to bring in Sandlot. Wow, Easton.
Strap in, Becca. It's going to get a lot more fun.
All right, so we are beyond excited, Easton and myself are super excited.
Beyond excited.
To have some of the main players from The Sandlot in the studio with us today.
Thank you
so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having us.
I mean, I feel like I'm just in the presence of greatness. Is that how you feel everywhere you go? Y'all are like icons.
I don't think we
try and stay a little humble, right?
Try to. You don't want to be crazy about it. But I think when we did the film, we didn't know that it was going to be as popular and as big as it became. You know?
I think we were just happy to be hanging out playing baseball.
How old were y'all when y'all filmed that movie?
11?
Yeah. 25.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were 33
I was,
years old.
I was 33. Well, you guys were 11, so I got you by a few years. Oh, yeah. I was 13.
Oh, wow. That's so fun. I mean, when I have nephews, and so I don't even know if they've seen The Sandlot yet, but the oldest is 8, so I'm going to quickly introduce them to it because they're on their iPads and on their phones all the time, and I feel like the movie is it's a reminder. Like, every time I watched it recently, every time it's on TV, I feel like I stop and watch it, no matter, what part it's on. But I think about, those days in the summertime of being outside and playing with your friends, and I feel like they don't do that anymore.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Kids.
iPads, iPhones haven't taken over the world?
My kids all the time. Can I get your phone?
He
plays Granny, this game Granny, where a grandma runs around the house and tries to kill you. All he wants to do is play on the phone.
It is pretty trippy. My 14-month-old already holds down this button and talks to Siri.
Oh, wow.
Just yells at Siri. So you just think, what is this generation going to be like?
Yeah,
it's scary.
Before we get too deep into it, let's introduce who we're talking to.
I really jumped into the
I was like, from The Sandlot, is the dog there?
Yeah. I'm the beast. Yeah.
So we got Patrick Renna, who played Ham.
That's me.
We got Victor DiMattia, who played Timmy Timmons, and Tom Guiry, who played Smalls.
Hello.
Here in the studio with us, and so excited. These are the main guys. You can tell squints that we don't need. Right?
Oh, come on. Everyone needs squints. He's the best.
Easton said that he really related to squints as a young boy.
I wore glasses and,
And you smooched the lifeguard?
Made out with the lifeguard.
Come on.
I kissed a lot of girls who didn't want me to kiss them. But it's so exciting to have you guys in here today. Something that I really wanted to ask, Patrick and Tom, which one of you gets people coming up saying you're killing me Smalls more?
I bet you Pat. It's got to be Pat.
It's got to be.
I don't know. It could be Tom too. It's both of us.
Yeah, I would get it. I get it a lot, actually.
Yeah,
my kids say it to me.
There you go. Well, because you are.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do.
That's awesome.
One time I was putting, I was like, "You got to go to bed," and he was like, "Oh, you're killing me, small." I'm like, "What did you say to me?"
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's right. It's like worse than a cuss word. Yeah. What did you just say to your father?
Wait, how old are your kids?
18, 7, and 5.
And they've all seen the movie?
Oh, yeah.
All boys?
Yeah. My daughter is 5.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Has she seen the movie?
She does, but she's not.
She doesn't understand.
Yeah, she's like, it's a daddy movie. She wants to watch Trolls.
Well, yeah, of course, Trolls. How do you compete with Trolls?
Yeah, you can't beat Trolls. Trolls is awesome.
It's so good. I am such a cartoon guy now that I have a young one. Incredibles, Trolls, Sing,
I can't wait to see Incredibles
Moana.
Too.
I know.
It's going to be awesome.
It's all I'm about now.
I love that y'all are just
forget live action.
Dad's talking about cartoons. Yeah. It's just funny because we were talking about, it was 25 years ago that the movie came out. And is that right? 25
years ago? Yeah, 25 years ago.
25.
And when that happened.
Oh my gosh. I hadn't, what?
Yeah. I mean, you look great, Pat, for 67.
Thank you. Yeah.
when it came out, I was 4.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it till we were talking about, I didn't see it when I was 4 because I remember seeing it for the first time and I clearly was not 4 years old. But even at that point, it was already such an iconic movie that everyone knew and loved.
Yeah.
And so the fact that 25 years later, it's still talked about as much as it is.
I think it's actually gotten more popular as the years go
on. Something about it, yeah. Every 4th of July, it gets more and more popular.
You know what? I love that scene. When the fireworks, where the song is playing, it's my favorite scene.
Is it really?
Yeah.
How long did it take y'all to? Y'all were so young. Like, do you remember being like, God, these days are lasting forever? Did it just feel like you were out playing around?
Utah was really hot.
It was really hot.
It was a hot summer.
Yeah. We spent some time in pools though.
Right.
I heard that pool day, it was really cold.
It was.
Freezing.
It was the only cold day of the entire shoot.
Especially Chauncey. Just watch him in the movie, his teeth are chattering all the time. Right.
That was like, real, too.
It was freezing.
The war was like, it was freezing.
And we were so excited to film that scene because it had been so hot all summer. And then we show up that day, it was the coldest day of the entire shoot.
Yeah, but you got to realize we were young and there's rules on how long you can shoot. So I think we only shot 8 hours a day and... You know, because it was summer, it didn't get dark, so we got to just hang and party with each other half the day. I mean, you know, we had another 8 hours just hanging as dudes, you know, and then you have the full weekend off. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, so it wasn't like a job for sure.
No,
sometimes
it
was a little bit, but
it felt like summer camp. It was like
a little bit,
like a baseball summer camp.
Yeah, it really was.
Were you guys from Los Angeles originally, or where y'all from?
I'm not. None of us are.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I grew up in the Valley, so yeah. I mean, I was born in Salt Lake City, but I don't have any memory of that.
I had no idea.
From the time I was really little, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley right here.
Oh, right on. Yeah. I thought it must have been weird to shoot a movie that was taking place in San Fernando Valley and then like get on the plane, we're going to Utah. You know?
Right. Well, they did it because it's the only place that still looks like L.A.,
in
San Fernando
60s,
Valley
in
the 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
interesting.
But I'm from Boston, Tom's from Jersey.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Do you all live here now?
No, I still live in New Jersey.
Oh, nice. I was going to say your accent. If you still live here, I mean, still holding on to that.
Yeah. Everybody talks about my accent. I have a pretty strong Jersey accent.
What accent?
What are you talking about? What accent?
I got rid of mine.
Yeah.
You are so Jersey.
I love that, though. I feel like L.A., no one has an accent. When I say I'm from the South, and when I say I still say y'all, even though I've lived here for 10 years, and it's immediately, like, even if I'm talking and I don't say y'all, no one says anything, and then as soon as y'all comes out, it's like, where are you from?
Yeah.
I'm like, it's faster.
What part of the South? Where are you from?
Louisiana.
Oh, okay. My wife's from Arkansas, so hers comes out every once in a while, too.
She say y'all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife's family's from Louisiana. They're all from Slidell.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I'm from North Louisiana in Shreveport, so.
I was just out there.
Really?
Yeah, we go back once in a while because my son met his great mama. That's how you say it, right? Mama?
Yeah.
Okay, I got
it. I say mama.
Mama? Okay, yeah. Well, I guess they're a little, I don't know.
That's the down
Papa,
south.
Mama.
Mama.
I don't know if I say it right, but mine was just Nana and Grampy, but.
Did you eat some good food?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
too much. It's a disaster when I go there. I got to get home quick for the salad.
The salad life in L.A.
Yeah.
Did y'all meet how old were y'all when you met your wives? And
I was 22 21 when I met my wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm single, so we talk a lot. Tanya, my girl Tanya, it's been a huge topic on the show. We talk about dating a lot because we're both single and we approach it very differently. So it's kind of the fun dynamic of when we talk to guests and especially people who have like are in successful relationships or married, we're like very curious how people do it because we just feel like we're wandering around. And
well, now it's got to be so interesting though, because do you do like the online stuff? Or do you use like?
Well, so Tanya started. She saw this guy on Instagram. It's kind of been like a saga on the podcast of us like keeping up, and people are so invested in this relationship. But we call him Dr. W because he was, I don't even know where to begin. So she
start at the beginning. We're here.
Right? I'm just going to brief y'all so that you can kind of be up to date.
I'm excited.
So they met through Instagram. She found his photo or his Instagram through someone. They liked each other's photos and went back and forth. And then it was this whole thing of like, do I direct message him? How do I do it?
When do I like? Did he do like the, you like something from 2 months ago, but just once? And it's kind of creepy, but it's kind of flirting.
It's exactly what he did.
Okay. See, I got this a little bit, guys. I got this.
But it made me realize how important that move is.
Right?
Because when she told me he did that, I'm like, you're good. Like, this is where you move in. So now they've been on 3 dates. And we called him Dr. W because he was being a wussy. We couldn't say the word that we wanted to say, but so then he turned into Dr. W. And but now they've been on 3 dates and it seems like it's good.
Now
so
he's Dr.
Far.
Wow.
It's Dr. W for Dr. Wow.
Okay.
So I just always like hearing how people, we like love hearing how everyone meets their significant other because we're
invested. They don't have to go through such an ornate plan like that.
Yeah, but I'm intrigued to hear about this generation doing it because when I met my wife in my early 20s too, and there was no Instagram.
So how did we all just met out? Through a friend? How did it happen?
I went to a high school friend of mine. It was the day I got back from filming Black Hawk Down, and he called me up and he's like, I'm having a bonfire at my house in like cornfield, middle of nowhere, Jersey. And that's where I met her. And she was there and she went to a high school next to the old high school I went to. And we hit it off and that was it.
So
it was
easy.
Yeah, it was easy. I saw her and hung out and, you know, and then it was like, she was with me constantly and she'd always leave like some clothes at my place and then more clothes at my place. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, your whole wardrobe's here.
Clothes is like the liking. Yeah, it's like the Instagram liking of 20 years ago. Oh my gosh, she left her shirt. Yes.
Way less subtle, actually. Yeah.
And if she leaves a sock, it's not as good as you think. It's a whole thing.
Wait, how long did y'all date before y'all moved in together?
Like 6-7 months.
Okay.
And then moved in.
How long did it take her to move in? How long was that process of leaving random stuff at your house?
Oh, that took like within a year. Within a year.
Okay.
Interesting. What about you?
Yours is probably a bit more recent.
Have we met
Instagram stuff on it?
No.
MySpace? Facebook?
No, we met in person, actually, which I guess doesn't matter. I know, that's so old fashioned. but I mean, I was 32. When we started dating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
you're so old.
I know. We met through work. And she tells the story that she was the one, she saw my butt and said, I used to do a lot more CrossFit. But,
she said, that's
the one right there.
So did she pursue
my
you?
She did, yeah.
She picked your butt out of a lineup. Wow.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Right.
I love a good romance story. Yeah. No, that's another huge debate. It's the whole, like, are girls allowed to do the pursuing now?
Of course.
I feel like they've always been.
Yeah. I think it's always up to the girl, you know?
Yeah, however they want to do it.
Exactly.
You know.
But we like to feel like it's the guy's decision.
Yeah.
Even though we know we're in control, we like to feel like the guys are making the move.
It's Inception. No. You constantly incept us.
What about you, Patrick? How'd you meet your wife?
You know, I went to school with her in like early high school, and then we just were, but we didn't get together from there. We just kind of ran in the same circles, and then she was the maid of honor, and I was the best man in the same wedding.
Oh, look at that.
And so soon after that, we kind of, you know, because our best friends were, you know, we sort of became like a double couple, you know? So, and then in the early 2000s or, you know, 2003, 2004, 2005, we just hung out a lot more. And then I actually knew her so well. So we got together in the end of 2005, and I proposed early 2006, and we were married in, like 11 months after we were together.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So it was a fast
one. Yeah, it was fast. And then we just had our first kid, but we've been married almost 12 years. So we did things reversed. Mm-hmm. Like we had such a short engagement, long marriage before a kid, you know?
I like that. You really knew you were in it before you brought the child
into
the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make sure.
Yeah, well, that's a big thing. People think children will fix a marriage, and I go, wrong. They will test your marriage. And if you can, you know, don't think you're going to fix a marriage with a child, because it puts everyone, you know, all your patience gets put to the test. And I mean, it makes a marriage beautiful and 100 times better, but you definitely need to know you're in the right relationship before you bring children into that, because I don't know, I hate divorce, and so it's tough, you know.
Those are why it's,
I just
why
brought it down. I just brought it really
yeah
down.
Right, right.
No, things just got real deep.
Or I brought
things
it up.
Just got real.
That's awesome. No, but I really appreciate that, because in fact, last night, one of my friends, we were out to dinner, and she was talking about when she was 19 that she met this NBA player at a bar, and he asked if she wanted to be one of his hoes on the road. And she was like, you know, I said no because I had integrity, and now 10 years later, I'm regretting it because I could have a 7-foot-tall 14-year-old.
Oh. Wish I would have been one of those hoes on the road.
Yeah, so she, you know, she was thinking the child could really fix the relationship.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little different than what I meant, I guess. You know, that's a different scenario.
But that, you agree with that?
With what? Being a hoe? No, listen, I'm pleading the fifth.
Oh, you would do it.
Anything. Yes, I would.
You
be,
would do
I
it.
I would
second.
Do it. If you take me on the road, Vic, I'll be your eye candy.
Did all of your wives know, like, did they recognize y'all from, like, the movie and stuff when y'all met them?
No, my wife didn't. She had no idea, like, who I was or anything. And then, you know, she found out, and it didn't really impress her too much.
Right.
I think that's what I liked about her. I'm like, yeah, I like you. You don't care.
No. No, same here. I'm constantly trying to remind her.
Yeah.
I was in a classic
movie.
Right. And she's like,
Sandlot.
Shut up and fold the laundry.
Yeah, like, no one cares.
Right.
That's amazing. Do you want to do a spot?
I do want to do a spot. You guys, you know, you're in this iconic movie about the world's greatest pastime, but I want to know, what do you feel about feminine products?
I feel good about them.
Like, specifically, what do you mean?
Like fragrance?
Like, what are we talking about?
Well,
there's so many. There's so many feminine products.
Yeah, I like perfume. Smells great.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
I wanted to talk to y'all specifically.
Okay.
Actually, this has nothing to do with y'all, except for your wives might want to know about this. It's a product called Lola. We care a lot about the ingredients in the food that we eat, the beauty products we use. Why wouldn't women care about what's in their feminine care product?
They should care.
Yeah,
they
of course
should.
They should.
Definitely should.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Lola is very good for that.
Yeah.
What does Lola have in it? What doesn't Lola have in it?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, the Lola products are 100% natural, 100% easy to
get
feel good about. Unlike major brands in the market, Lola offers complete transparency about the ingredients found in their tampons, pads, and liners. No BS, no mystery fibers, no more doubts about what's going in our bodies. Our bodies.
That's right.
Fantastic.
I hate those mystery fibers.
Yeah.
You never
bad.
Know.
They're bad. Lola products are 100% organic cotton with no added chemicals, fragrances, synthetics, or dyes. The Lola products come in a simple, customizable subscription, so you don't have to make a trip to the drugstore or have your husband or boyfriend go to the drugstore. Comes to your door. They deliver right when you need it, to where you need it. Choose from organic cotton tampons, pads, or liners, or add a box of each. If you want to build your box of 18 tampons by picking the perfect mix of light, regular, super, and super plus, you can decide how many boxes you want delivered to your door.
And
wow.
I think something that's really cool about Lola that's quite different from this room, Becca being a lone woman surrounded by these dudes, Lola was founded by women for women.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, none of us in there, we just ruin things anyway, you know?
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like guys do have a lot of, when you're in a relationship, it is, there is that moment where your girlfriend or wife goes, hey,
can you go to the store and get me something? Yeah, yeah, I know. And you always
and
feel really weird.
Yeah.
Right.
You, yeah, you don't know what to get. That's the thing.
But that is
yeah, I always get the wrong thing.
And now I need good. Now I need a new excuse to get out of the house.
There you go. Babe, I got to go pick up all the boxes of Lola.
All right, yeah, there you go.
Littering our front lawn. I'll be back in an hour.
So you can select your shipment frequency. You can cancel, skip an order, modify your subscription at any time. For 40% off all subscriptions, visit mylola.com and enter code Becca when you subscribe. That's mylola.com. Okay, this is where I need the harmonies. So I'm going to say promo code and we all say Becca.
All together?
Yeah. All at the same time. So okay. Take whatever, you know, part of the clef that you're most comfortable with. Okay. I don't know if you're tenor or
the bass.
Can I go really high?
Please. Yeah, please do it. Yeah.
I like
ear piercingly high.
No, don't. No, don't.
Okay. So that's my
middle?
Lola.
Sure. I'll
you're
go mid.
Middle, you're going high. I'm going low.
All right. Okay. Good.
I love how invested y'all are in this.
Come
okay.
On.
Great. That's mylola.com, promo code
Becca.
Becca.
That perfect.
Was beautiful. Yeah,
that
was good. We got to take
not
this on
bad.
The road.
Not
yeah.
bad.
That was fantastic.
I don't know if anything's ever been better than that. And we've had some good harmonies.
Okay.
Thank you guys. Wow.
Thank you.
This is fun.
Uh-huh. I'm so satisfied.
You are blowing up
that.
Our ego right now. Thanks a lot.
Okay. So, one of the things that we do on our podcast, we read emails from our listeners that write in for advice.
Oh, cute. Oh,
we
good.
Normally have female guests, and like Tanya and I are together. So, we have a strong female perspective and opinion. I love that I am the only girl here and that it's going to be a guy's opinion today. So I wanted to read a few emails while I have y'all
yeah,
here.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Some advice for the... Okay.
I actually really like this first one because the Sandlot is one of those movies about friendship, I think, at its core. Like, you know, Smalls comes to town. He doesn't know anybody. You know, Benny takes him under his wing. Mm-hmm. I was just watching this the other day and it was like that... The part where he shows him how to throw... Or shows you how to throw. Like, it brought a tear to my eye. Like, I was like, I want a friend like Benny.
Yeah. I know.
It's great.
Yeah.
Benny was awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
So cool. So Brittany writes in, and she wants to know how to make friends as an adult. She writes, I recently graduated college, and I'm engaged. My fiance and I have been together since high school and recently moved to Jacksonville with her two puppies to pursue our career in medical device sales. My life feels like a fairy tale, but I'm still missing something. I have a great love and a great career, but I'm lacking in the girlfriends department. I was in a sorority my first 2 years of college and on a sales team for my last two, but once we graduated, we all scattered. I still keep in touch with my closest friends, but I miss having BFFs within driving distance. Most people befriend their coworkers, but unfortunately, my job is outside sales, meaning I travel around my city all day and I technically don't have coworkers. So my question is, how in the world do you make friends as an adult? My fiancé is my absolute best friend, but he's in the military, so he leaves for 6 months in September. I feel like the pressure is on to make friends, but I have no clue where to begin. I'm a total Tanya in need of a Becca. I love your podcast so much. It always has me cracking up, and Easton is my absolute favorite. Help. How do I make friends? Okay, that last part I made up.
I was like, that's
not on my email.
That's
why I love this one so much. Wait a minute.
So I had a problem with this when I first moved to Los Angeles. I didn't have any friends, and I went to the record store and found a guy looking in the same type of music as I liked, and I think he thought I was hitting on him. Did not go very well. I left there without a friend.
Oh, I thought that was going to be a
right.
good story.
Yeah, no. So it's difficult. So I mean, I don't know if you guys have any insight on how to make friends as an adult.
Wait, we might be onto something here because I think some sort of not dating app, but friend
like
making.
Friend.
They have it.
Do they?
Yeah, it's Bumble BFF.
Okay, because then you know what everyone likes. And the problem is, just what you said about the record store is. It's hard to tell people that you're legitimately just trying to hang and everyone is a little guarded and mm-hmm. gets, whoa, hey, buddy, relax.
Yeah. Hey,
like, you know.
Yeah. Easton, what was your opening line?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
I like punk music a lot. This guy was in the section and I saw he was looking at, there's this band called Rotting Out that I really like. They're from Los Angeles. And I'm like, oh, hey, have you heard Street Prowl? That was their new album at the
right.
time. And he's like, Yeah, yeah, it's fine.
He's like, get away from me, you weirdo.
Exactly. Like, he was clearly just wanting to shop.
You know what? Listen, I put that on him. I think that was a great opening line.
Yeah.
I think I was worried what was going to come. I was scared for you, but I think that was a great opening line. That's not weird. If I was into that kind of music, I would have would have chatted you up.
Well, right. Thank you. I mean, and then I was thinking in my head, like, okay, if this guy wants to talk to me, how do I bring it to the next step? You know, it's like that Seinfeld episode where he's trying to befriend Keith Hernandez. Like, what do I do? Do I ask him to dinner? You know,
right.
Luckily did not get that far, but it's hard to, you know.
Well, with you telling the story, I almost, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, I almost feel like it's more difficult for guys to do that. I feel like girls are like, let's be, you know, you meet a girl, you have like one thing in common. It's like, we're best friends.
Yeah,
like,
no, because my wife talks to anybody and everybody.
Yeah.
And she's coming home with a new best friend like every other day. We'll go to the mall and I turn around and she's talking to some girl. And the next day she's like, oh, I'm meeting Ashley for dinner. I'm like, who the hell is Ashley?
That's what I'm saying. Girls like have that natural thing where it's just like, let's be friends. Let's get dinner, whatever. Where I feel like guys, you almost have to have this like, I don't know. It's almost like you said, like you're so guarded and you don't want it to come off as the wrong or like weird or
yeah,
that
like
you're
why,
trying
what
to.
Are, what are
yeah,
your
what
intentions?
Are your intentions?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for your listener, I would say take a class or something. Like do things, you know, get out in the world and
find a hobby.
Go, go back to college and join a sorority again.
you could do that, but it's the female version of old school. But make sure to film it because it will.
That
make
would
millions.
Be an awesome movie.
It would, like Ocean's 8.
Female old school?
Oh,
female,
great. Ocean's 8.
Good. If we see a female old school in 18 months, we're suing whatever company did
but
that.
But what a great idea.
Just came out with an amazing idea. You should star in it. We'll produce it. A bunch of guys will produce it. Right. Old school, great. That ain't happening.
Yeah. Okay, so y'all are saying find a hobby. Find something that you're interested in that you would find. That would be your advice.
Yeah. You know, do something that you're interested in.
Yeah, right.
You know,
well, and then you know you have at least one mutual interest, so that would help things a little bit, I think.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly. That's kind
of. You can
of
also go on The Bachelor. All the girls and friends on that. She is married, might be conflict there, but that is an option.
All right.
Everyone's there to date one guy, but you all become best friends anyway, so that's an option. All right, I like the was I on a date one.
Oh,
because I like
okay.
that perspective from a guy's.
All right, yeah, this is a good question that I've been in many times. This is from Danielle. Love y'all so much. My name is Danielle, and I'm 22. Last week, my friend I used to work with, who looks like a hotter, younger John Mayer, all right, said he wanted to hang and catch up. There's air quotes there. And even suggested specifically grabbing coffee and going for a hike. The hike thing fell through, so he suggested restaurants for lunch, even offered to pick me up, but I had somewhere to be, so we drove separately. At lunch, everything flowed so easily since we've been friends for over a year, but I noticed it was hard for him to keep eye contact. Maybe he was nervous. We got the check, and then we split the cost. Was this a date, or was it not?
It's a date.
Yes. Date.
It's a date.
Because
why? I'm curious.
No hesitation.
I feel like I don't...
I think it's a date.
Wait, you missed it. P.S. Easton is my favorite.
Oh, you didn't want to keep my ego in check. I'm self.
I feel like it wasn't. If
really?
You split the bill, listen. I mean, and you know, if you, I don't know. I know, it's
but it's awkward
times.
Sometimes. Like now, because you don't want to just
always,
pay for the woman. You want her to.
If I'm on a date, though,
yeah.
I will pay for the woman to. It's kind of like leaving the clothes behind or liking the early Instagrams. I will do that. So that there's an understanding.
So there's no confusion.
But that's me also. I haven't done it recently, so I don't know if
maybe
that's...
he was just testing the waters.
Yeah, to see how it
and
goes.
It was started as a date, but by the time the check came, he was like, it's not a date. Let's split this.
Maybe.
See, I have a strong, I think I have an opinion on this because where I'm from in the South and how I was raised, even if I was on a friend, like if I was just out with a friend and we went to a movie or anything, he always paid. So I got used to that. So when I moved out to San Diego, I went out with one of my friends and just, it was totally friendly, but he didn't pay. And I remember being like, oh, I guess he doesn't have to do that. Like that wasn't, I don't know. I have this like expectation because like that's how I was raised. And then I was like, oh, we're just friends. He doesn't owe me that. And then I think more now with the dating accessibility of being able to go on dates whenever you want through an app, it's kind of like, is that what's required that the guy pays every time? Or is it just if you...
I think it sends a pretty clear signal if he pays.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So if you split bill, I mean, maybe it was a pre-date.
Maybe he was nervous and he didn't know how she felt and he didn't want to be too forward.
Feeling everything out, like pre-date. And then if they actually do something again, I would say yes, date. But I think this was like, it sounds like there was something because he was nervous, wasn't making eye contact. Right. So there's something going on there, but I wouldn't have called it a date yet. Did they go out again?
I don't know. We'll have to get an update. But she did reference him as her friend she used to work with.
Right.
I think this was a date, but he was too nervous to ask her on a real
date. I agree.
You nailed it.
Playing
it
safe.
That's what it is.
And that's why he split the check, too.
Right.
Because I think...
He probably wanted to pay.
Here's the thing. Like,
thought he was a little Dr. W.
Exactly.
Not wow.
Aren't we all a little Dr. W?
Because I think if he wanted to be a date, he would have asked her to dinner or something. But then... this hike suspiciously fell through and they had to go to a restaurant. I think that was him trying to like have dinner with her without putting a lot out there.
Right.
But if he wanted it to be clear that it was a date, wouldn't you pay? Like, wouldn't that be
I think he's nervous.
Right.
Yeah. But you're right. Yeah. There's no reason to not pay in that scenario. Unless, I don't know.
Unless he wanted, like you said, he wanted it to be a date at the beginning and by the end, he was like, I don't want to give her the wrong signal.
Here's the thing, and I think you guys can confirm this with your wives. There's, at least with my wife, there was never a moment where there were unclear signals. So at the very least, this may not be the guy for you because it's too confusing. For me, in my experience, I've gone through Hollywood and had plenty of confusing moments, and that's not the woman I ended up with. And the reason I ended up with my wife was because there wasn't anything confusing. We were both in it. I didn't have to wait 4 days. I didn't have to do any of that stuff.
You didn't have to think about it.
I didn't have to think about it. And then I knew she was the one for me. She knew I was the one for her, which I still don't understand, but fair enough. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, and honestly, that's a little early too, like give the guy another chance. But if it continues to be that mixed signal stuff, I would move on.
Well, there's always this debate of, for girls, when we go out with guys on a first date, if when the check comes, should we reach for it?
No.
No. No, when the check comes... sit there and smile. If he slides it to you, you're not hanging out with that
right.
guy.
Right. Or if he looks at it and says, so how do you want to do this?
Yeah.
Sometimes it comes and it just sits there and you're like,
that's on him.
Right.
It shouldn't sit there. Guys, this is what I do. I excuse myself to the bathroom. I hand the waitress or waiter the card and I say, don't even bring the bill. Just bring it to me to sign. So the moment is never even there. I do that with friends if I'm going to pick it up, too, because there's nothing more annoying than that moment. And then shoot me now.
Anytime Patrick takes me out, he always pays for me.
My advice to men these days is excuse yourself, get it out of the way, don't even make the awkward moment.
That's a very good move. And then you look like a real big shot.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Reno, we've already taken care of this.
You're
just your name.
Awesome.
Exactly. But no, Pat was right. Like with my wife, there was never any of that stuff of like, should I text right now or should I wait or should I? And I've had this conversation with her and she said the same thing. That it was just never any of that weirdness. And I think that's kind of how that was the first sign that we knew.
When you find the right person, you don't have to think too much, you know, second guess anything.
It happens.
Feels a little natural. Yeah.
That's good. Good to know. Cause we talk about this a lot.
Yeah.
And I think there's this sense of, especially right now and like how things are right now, there's this fear, I think, that sometimes men feel of like being the ones to pay, because it's like, what if the woman wants to be in control and she's like, I can pay for it. You know, there's that.
Right.
You don't know who you're going to run into.
You don't want to insult.
Right.
But you think that, you know.
Well, that's why I say give this dude the benefit of the doubt. Go out one more time with him.
Yeah.
And then if he doesn't pay the second time, it's over.
That's right.
Get out of here, you cheap bastard. Yeah. Right. I don't want to deal with you. Yeah.
So, Danielle, go out with him again. Let us know what happened. Send another email.
Yeah, we need an update.
We'll even call you to get you on and hear about it live while it's happening. You know, we talk about finding the right person that takes all the guesswork out of it. But I think something that's just as important is finding the right sheets.
That is so true. Have y'all ever heard of Boll & Branch?
No, but I'm very interested.
You're about to. So Boll & Branch makes the softest, most comfortable, 100% organic cotton sheets you'll ever sleep on. We're very into organic cotton on today's show. I have Boll & Branch sheets, and I can attest that they are amazing. They started soft before I even washed them multiple times. Which is very important.
That's impressive. Because that's nice. Usually you never find that.
Right. What's the thread count on that?
I don't have the thread count.
Here's the thing about Boll & Branch. You can get whatever thread count you want.
Oh, okay.
You get whatever you want.
Super soft is the thread count.
Don't worry about it, Vic. Pure 100% organic cotton. Three of the U.S. presidents love Boll & Branch sheets.
Which ones?
Both Bushes and the Clinton.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, you weren't ready for that quick answer, were you?
You knew.
Boll & Branch only sells to you online at bollandbranch.com, so their sheets cost less than half of the designer brands, and they're twice the quality of what you would find. You won't believe how comfortable they are. You can try them for a whole month. If they're not the most comfortable you've ever slept on, you can send them back for a refund.
That's awesome.
We love a risk-free situation. So there's no risk to try. Plus, you'll get $50 off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com. Promo code Becca. That's spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code Becca for $50 off your first set of sheets. Are y'all ready to harmonize again?
Let's do it.
All right. That's bollandbranch.com. Promo code
Becca!
I went a little higher on that one.
That was good. That was nice.
Yeah,
it was
like a deeper
You like that
sound.
One better?
It was nice. It was smooth.
Great. okay, let's do one more email, and then we'll let y'all go on with your days. all right, I was going to do Is He Into Me?
Ooh, I like that one. I like that. Hopefully you guys can... Hopefully you know whether or not someone's into you or whether you're into someone else. You can help Haley here. She needs some advice. About a year ago, my friend and her then-boyfriend wanted to introduce me to his cousin, but I had to move away for 5 months, so I wasn't interested in starting anything. We ended up running into him downtown on the 4th of July last year, right after we watched The Sandlot, and we danced for a little bit and kissed and then went our separate ways. Fast forward to a month ago, I see him at the same bar and accidentally bump into him on the dance floor. We hit it off, I went home with him, and we stayed up just talking and cuddling all night. I've seen him a handful of times since, and he's always telling me how he doesn't believe me that I'm into him and that he's sincere and doesn't want me to think he's playing games. The problem is the only time we text is to make plans to see each other, so I'm constantly wondering if he's really into me or if I'm just getting my hopes up. When we do hang out, it's always great and we have great conversations. He even sings and dances like a crazy person in the car with me, which I love. I feel myself falling really fast and I don't want to get hurt. So how do I know that he's genuine? Is it okay to ask where he sees things going? I've heard that scares some guys off. Can I text him even if he hasn't responded to a message from a few days ago? I tend to be needy like Tanya and super forward in relationships. Please help.
I think you can. I think if you ask him and that scares him off, then he's not really that into you.
Yeah, nailed it, Vic. And why do you even want him?
Well wow. Done. That was quick.
Yeah.
You guys are really good at this. Yeah. Well,
I think that's an important thing for this world today is, number one, you have to know people by their actions, not what they say. And number two, if you have to change yourself to get a guy to be into you, forget it, because it's not going to last. And what's the point? So, Vic, nice job.
Hey, thanks, man.
Dr. Vic.
Well done, Vic.
Thank you very much.
He's Dr. W, Dr. Wow, the Wow version.
Feel free to email me anytime, Pat.
Yeah, I will. Thank you.
Well, I always say, my advice when people write in, I always say, like, from what I've learned, if a guy wants you, you're going to know.
Totally.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
They really make it obvious most of the time if they're super into you.
Exactly. Yeah. If you have to guess, it's not worth it.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, if you have to think about it, it's not real. I mean, that's the thing is, like, if you have to worry and think about things too much in a relationship, then it's not the right person. You know, it should happen naturally. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right, yeah.
Like, when me and my wife, she could tell I was totally into her the whole time, you know what I mean? Because I was genuinely into her. If she had to think, oh, my God, is he into me? Well, then it wouldn't work, you know?
If you have to reach out to a podcast to see if he's into you, I think that's a barometer.
Exactly. Yeah, most of the time if you're asking that question, it's probably not good.
Yeah.
Although I do like that she I mean, the fact that when they do talk, he's reaching out to hang out with her. He clearly wants to see her. So yeah, it's not
he might be into her, but the point is she should just not work. She should be herself and say, I'm into you. And if that scares them off, then you know.
Right.
Because it is possible he's into her, but find out. Because she's into him.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, she shouldn't be worried about scaring him off, too. No. Like, if he gets scared by asking if he's into her, like,
Well, that's a problem in itself.
And this also isn't the first date. They've hung. Like, okay, maybe don't ask people if you're into me on the first date. I could get behind that.
Are you in? How are you feeling?
I'm falling pretty hard for you. I just want to be honest. Wait a minute.
This was so fun. I'm going to have you all as permanent fixtures on the show.
Yeah, sure.
The advice was just quick. A lot of times we go, what do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Go with your gut.
We're fast. We're not always right, but we're fast. We could be horrible advice.
It was the confidence
advice,
of it, though.
We're confidently wrong sometimes, too, though. So go with your heart.
Yeah.
So the Sandlot 25th anniversary Blu-ray is out now. I just want to throw that out there. And if you haven't purchased it, you really should because...
Okay. I'll go pick one up.
Yeah, you should. It's a really good movie. It really is. And it's been so much fun hanging out with you guys today. This is something that, like, I wish I could go back in time and tell myself, like, in just a scant few years, if you plug away at it, you get to hang out in a studio with these guys in the Sandlot with Smalls and Hammond. It's so much fun. You guys,
it was
so
a blast.
Fun,
right?
Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of fun. You guys are great.
Yeah, thank y'all so much.
What time should we be back tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah,
next week. Going to Costa Rica, but then next week we'll let you know.
Okay,
good. We usually tape on Mondays. If you guys want to come by, I'll have a parking spot for you.
Okay, awesome.
And we'll have some more questions for you. Again, that's Tom Guiry, Victor DiMattia, and Patrick Renna, the stars of The Sandlot, hitting it out of the park once again.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Ending, Easton.
That was so fun.
That was so fun.
It was different being the only girl.
I know. I felt... luckily, those guys, they're super cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're not super, like, you know, I'm a man kind of a thing.
Totally.
They're very, very nice, gentle dudes. But I did feel bad that you were outnumbered.
Well, I mean, like you said, they were like, very much, like, gentlemen and so kind and sweet. And I do feel, I like that they were all married. And I liked that all the guys I'm surrounded by are great stand-up married men.
Yeah. I mean, I like to think of myself as a stand-up married man.
Easton, you're the most stood-up married man.
I am the most stood-up, yes. I hope that we're, I like to think that Mark and I are trying to set a good, example,
but you know. I mean, yeah. I think that's why, especially when I read, like, the comments on the Facebook group, why our listeners love y'all so much, because there is something to it being... the advice that y'all give being from two great guys who are married and, you know, are in healthy relationships. Cause I think a lot of people feel like discouraged because they're like, will I ever find that? And so to have two guys on one podcast, it's really nice.
That was really cool that all three of those guys are, like, happily married.
Yeah.
And I think that either all or most of them have children. Like, that's very cool. It makes me, cause, you know, sometimes with, like, child actors, you hear there's a certain timeline.
Yeah.
If you want to be a child actor and turn out great, go on The Sandlot. That's what I have to say.
I wanted to ask. I had, like, things that I know we were, like, talking about. I wanted to ask questions, but I wonder if, because I know that they have done other roles in different projects since The Sandlot, but that movie is so huge and so, I keep saying the word iconic, but it is, that it's almost, I always wonder, you know, people feel like they get stuck in a role or, like, typecast as that person. But it's kind of it's an amazing problem to have, I guess.
You know, Tom Guiry, I felt weird. Like, I like to fangirl. I'm not ashamed of it, but I also felt like, ooh, this is Smalls. I don't know. But he was in Black Hawk Down. He was in The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio. I remember I saw The Revenant and I thought that it was Smalls, but I didn't know that was him in it. And I was looking at his IMDb just now, and he's got quite the film credit. He's just in Wonder Wheel, which just came out. So he's, even though he doesn't live in Los Angeles, he's still making it happen as a real actor. I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating. And they were 11. Like, that's
insane.
I love that they said it just felt like summer camp, because that's what it felt like. You know, like, watching it, you hope to hear that, because I feel like you see a lot of movies in that kind of you have this idea or this fantasy of what it was like filming it, and then you hear back like behind the scenes stories and it was like a nightmare, or like so and so is a diva or no one got along, and you're like, oh, it kind of ruins what it was for me. So I'm glad it wasn't like that.
So you wanna hit a couple more emails before before we say goodbye?
Let's do some emails. Let's
do it with just you and I this time. Now we can give our honest thoughts on non-Sandlot related things. Okay, so Britt writes to us and she says, I want to get your guys' perspective on an issue. I have a super close group of girlfriends from college. They are my people and we absolutely adore each other. However, we all have such a bad habit of not being fans of the boys that we all date. We end up being kind of mean to each other about the boys we date because we think the world of each other and the guys are never up to our extremely high standards. And because the boys are typically scumbags, it's the only time we've had issues in our friendship, but it's ended up causing dents for us. I'm not sure how to voice my concerns about the guys my friends date without coming off as mean while still letting them know I think they can do way better. Or I'm not sure if I should just keep my mouth shut because they're probably going to date them no matter what I think. I feel like I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place, and I would love your guys' point of view. For reference, we're all fresh out of college and 22.
I don't know about you. I'm feeling
22. Now, Britt, seems like a good night to dress up like hipsters and make fun of your exes, which you're clearly doing. But yes. I wonder, do her friends feel this way about her?
I kind of feel like that's what they're saying. Like, yeah. She said it's the only time we've had issues in our friendship. I've always thought when it comes to dating guys that your family doesn't like or your friends don't like, it's always about the reasoning of why they don't. If it's the reasoning of why they don't like him, if it's because he doesn't treat you well or he does things that give them red flags, I think that's something to pay attention to. If it's simply that they don't get along or he has annoying quirks that they don't like, then that's kind of their issue to deal with, you know?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes people don't get along and it's not necessarily because they're a bad person or you're a bad person. It's just like your personalities don't click, but that's not a deal breaker for the person that's in the relationship with them.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing I'm having a hard time ignoring is that she says they all hate everyone's boyfriend. Usually there's like one person in a group.
Right. Who doesn't like the one person's boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or keeps dating guys that everyone else hates.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that it's everybody. And it's I wonder how you solve this. Like, do you have a gigantic intervention for each other? I mean,
I think I would just be like, if it were me in this situation, I would sit my group of friends down all together so it didn't feel like gossiping to one about the other. And I would say, hey, I would literally say what she said in this email. Like, we love each other so much. We want the best for each other. We obviously think that each of you deserves the best guy around. So what is the way we handle it if one of us starts dating someone we don't like? Like, what's the appropriate way to voice our concerns or our opinions on
like
it?
Like bringing articles of impeachment against the boyfriend?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Like, yeah. What?
It's tough because you want your friends to go for who they're going. You know, you only you can decide who's right for you.
Totally,
you know?
Yeah.
But also, I have found if you're dating someone that you think is the best and literally every one of your friends hates them, I think that's something to listen to.
I do too. I believe that as well. I don't like the word scumbags because that's like a bad, like that's a saying a lot.
Yeah. That's quite the indictment.
Yeah. Like scumbags because the boys typically are kind of scumbags. Also, they're very young.
Very, very young.
22.
Fresh out of college.
You really should dress up with hipsters and make fun of your exes together and find guys who aren't scumbags.
Yeah. Maybe don't take these relationships so seriously because you're probably not going to meet your husband right now. You might, but probably not. And I think friendships are very important, but you should also not let, if there's someone you truly think is right for you, you shouldn't let your friends get in the middle of, you know, just because a friend doesn't like that guy, like you were saying, like because there's like a personality quirk or something like that. It's a hard thing to balance, but you need to find balance there.
My ultimate advice to end this one: don't let a scumbag ruin your friendship?
Put that on the bumper sticker.
Put that on the bumper sticker.
Don't let a scumbag ruin that friendship.
You know, my hurdle and pole vault analogy was not, I mean, it was well received compared to how Tanya and Mark handled it.
I thought so too. I should have chimed in when that was happening.
Yeah, I was just about to say, where were you on that? You really left me in the dust.
I got what you were saying. And I see the difference between, because let's refresh ourselves. It's a pole vault and a hurdle. Hurdles are multiple challenges that are small.
My whole point, a hurdle is a small thing that you have to jump over.
Exactly.
A pole vault is large and it takes more effort and it's higher. It's a bigger hurdle. That's all I was trying to say.
I mean, at its core, a pole vault is just a really big hurdle.
Exactly.
You know, and you get an extra tool.
You get a stick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway,
I was really lost. I mean, everyone just goes with Tanya's analogies that make no sense, and I give one that makes sense. And for the first time, and everyone acts so confused. Tanya's ruined us. I'm really bummed that the guys left before I got to do Quip. I liked their harmonies.
They were so good.
Yeah.
So good.
So you're really going to have to pick up the slack.
Oh, I'm classically trained, so I can definitely do that on this one.
Sometimes when it's time in the past, now I do use Quip and they send me new brushes, but when I used to go to the store and I would be in the toothbrush aisle, there are so many options of toothbrushes to choose from. It overwhelms me. I'm like, which one is my dentist recommended toothbrush? And they all say they are. But many of the toothbrushes, they're gimmicks and they're not that great. But the truth is, you really just need something that guides the simple habits of what you're supposed to do when you brush your teeth that most of us get wrong when we're doing it. Quip is an electric toothbrush. It's a fraction of the cost of the bulkier brushes, but it still packs just the right amount of vibrations to help clean your teeth very well. I've had messages about people who have bought Quip and they love it. They're like, my mouth has never felt cleaner. Wish I could find it right now. That would take a long time. Quip has a built-in timer. It helps you clean for the dentist recommended 2 minutes. That's right. Not a second less.
That's right. All those things about like, oh, sing happy birthday. No, 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 my friend. You got to brush for 2 minutes. And it's fun once you have the timer, you know?
It does. It like lets you know when to switch up where you're brushing.
Takes the guesswork out of it.
Takes the guesswork out of it.
Yeah.
Quip has a subscription plan, and it's specifically for your health, not just for convenience. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist recommended schedule, which I've always been terrible about buying new toothbrushes.
Yeah, because like if you stop someone on the street that uses an electric toothbrush, or even not, like how often do you change your toothbrush? Most people would say, oh, when something starts growing on it, maybe. Ooh, or when it
if rubs... anyone said that, I would be like, okay.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely not when I change mine. But the Quip, they send you new heads on a predetermined plan so you can keep your teeth as healthy as you need to.
Yeah. Every 3 months for just $5. And that's including free shipping worldwide. So Quip also comes with a mount that suctions right onto your mirror, and it unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel. So you can put it in there once you travel. It also comes with a And finally, they were on Oprah's O list. They were named one of Time's best inventions, and it's the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association.
That's right.
That's the ADA.
Those guys don't just certify anything. I mean, this is the only electric toothbrush they have accepted.
Exactly.
It's a very rigorous acceptance process. Quip has made it through.
Yes. And they're backed by a network of over 20,000 dentists and hygienists and hundreds of thousands of happy brushers that use Quip every day. Quip starts at just $25. If you go to getquip.com/Becca right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/Becca. That's spelled getquip.com/Becca.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
That was beautiful. Tanya might be out of a job.
She fancies herself quite the singer, but, you know, so does the E-Man.
She does. She really puts it out there.
She does. You know, before I worked at the radio station, I sold Vans shoes, and I worked in the mall. And I would sing very loudly at that job because I hated that job, and I wanted to die every day. So hearing, like, whenever there'd be a song that I liked on the loudspeaker, I would jump up on the bench where people tried on their shoes, and I would sing along, and I would usually dance. And I'd get people really excited, you know, and I didn't think that I would have that from anyone else, but then I started working here, and Tanya brings that to a whole new level, and I feel so lucky to be around it every day.
Y'all are literally, I just had no idea how similar y'all are. It was such a beautiful moment when it came, like when I had that, the Hillary Duff thing really just, watching the videos after I posted them on Facebook again, I was like, wow, that's Tanya in Easton's body.
That was terribly exciting. You're able to sing along like that.
Terribly exciting.
Yeah, terribly exciting.
Okay, so let's do one more email.
One more email. All right, this is from Anonymous. These are always good.
Mm-hmm.
Always good. Anonymous says they started a Hinge profile after hearing Becca mention it a few times. I had a few likes and conversations going, but nothing serious. I started noticing one guy in particular, and he initiated the conversation and kept it going. Everything was going well. We exchange numbers and add each other on social media and talk about possibly hanging out on Saturday. Well, Saturday comes and I don't hear from him at all, so I texted him a simple hi and he replied, "Hey, how's it going?" That's it. Didn't even mention our possible hangout, and that was the last I heard from him. I really was impressed by him, so it's bugging me that I didn't even get a chance. He mentioned he would be in my town for a training soon, so my question is, should I text him? Hey, I know you'll be in town. We should grab drinks.
I mean, just coming off of the advice from the guys that were here, it's like, if he wanted to get drinks, what do you... I'm so torn because sometimes we get emails and it's like, go for it. Like, I'm married. I did it and I'm married now.
Yeah, but you got to go for it when it's worth going for. I mean, I'm just not very thrilled with this dude. And when you're at this point, you have very little to go on.
Mm-hmm.
You should not be this, like... disappointed with his behavior. That's what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, like, you know? he hasn't earned your disappointment.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, if you're talking about, even if it was just like, hey, we should hang out, maybe we shouldn't, when he texts you, he should like say like, oh hey, I'm sorry, something came up, I'm not gonna be able to, you know, like, at least reference
so
it.
We're just saying he's not into it.
I think he didn't want to hang out. That's what I think.
Yeah, I want to, this is the thing, and I had this conversation with Tanya because she, it was one of the days, like, right after she and Dr. W started talking. It may have been after their first date, I can't remember, but she texted him first during the day, and I don't know what happened. He had, like, a busy day or something, and she didn't really hear from him all day, but it made her feel, like, disappointed and rejected, and I told her, I was like, would you have felt this disappointment if you hadn't texted him? Like, if you were just waiting, you'd be, like, waiting to hear from him, but you could be like, all right, he's busy, whatever, you know, could think of a reason. But I think once you put yourself out there and then you don't hear anything, it just opens the door to be disappointed. And I don't know if this guy's worth it.
I mean, it doesn't even sound like he lives in the same town. That's another thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I would move on and find someone. I would be like, next. Next. Do you remember that show?
Oh, do I remember Next? I loved Next because every guy that was on that show, when they'd walk off the bus, they give two regular details and one wacky one.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's like, what's up? I'm Jared. My favorite color is blue. I'm 6'2", and I've never seen an episode of Melrose Place. This is MTV's Next. And then,
I loved that show.
I loved Next. I watched it a lot.
I loved Dismissed, too.
Dismissed was excellent. I also love Parental Control.
What was that one?
That was the one where they went on a date and the there's hidden cameras and the parents of the girl were watching and like weighing in on the date as it was going along.
Wow. Why don't we have any of these gems anymore?
I know. All we have is The Bachelor. That's all.
You know, The Bachelor is a staple. I got to watch this week's episode. Someone suggested we do episodes where Tanya and I watch... Or we all, like, put my episodes of The Bachelor on the TV and we, like...
like a commentary?
Do commentary.
I love this idea. Okay, so full disclosure, I hadn't seen much of The Bachelor until I started working closely with some of y'all. Uh-huh. So I'm very into it now, okay. But I didn't watch your season. I hadn't seen it. And I've been wanting to watch it because,
oh,
you know,
my God, we, like, should do this together.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Because even Tanya, like, I met her after Ben's season, so we didn't know, like, we, as she was watching it, she wasn't watching it knowing me.
Yeah.
And I actually watch it. My friends came over and they wanted to watch one episode, so we did. And it was so cringe. I, like, hated every second of it. So I feel like it would be really fun to watch now that y'all know me. And it was, you know, the how things are edited or whatever, how I look on the show.
I would love this. I think we should make this happen.
Okay. We'll have to pick like a specific episode to, like, really be able to give extra, like, maybe a finale or something. Yeah. Yikes.
Well, that's what y'all have to look forward to.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to Bull and Branch, Quip,
Rothy, and Lola.
And especially Lola.
Yes. We had some great sponsors today. Thank you to
Tom Guiry, Victor DiMattia, Patrick Renna. That's how we know them. You know them as Smalls, Timmy Timmons, and Ham from The Sandlot. That's right. We being able to say that we hung out with the guys from The Sandlot is still like, I have to pinch myself. That's so cool.
It's so cool. I can't wait for my nephews to watch the movie and then to be able to tell them, like, I met them. Like,
yeah.
Those are my friends. They gave dating advice today.
I would consider them friends.
I felt like we were friends.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I touched them a lot. I shook their hand a couple times, and that's how I figure friends, you know?
I touched them a lot. What did you say to the guy in the record store, really?
That's what I said. I said,
touch people a lot? No,
I said, what do you think of Street Prowl? And he said, it's fine. And then he turned his back to me, and I said, it's like, oh, okay. And, like, I like it too. And they just didn't say anything back.
It makes me so sad thinking of you, like, looking down at the records being like, I like it too.
Yeah. All right. It was, yeah, that was rough.
Oh, let's not ever talk about that. Yeah. So sad. Thank you, Easton. Thanks for, I mean, you held it down. We held it down.
We really nailed this. Thanks,
like, Mark and Tanya, we love y'all, but, you know, we did what we needed to do without you.
The show goes on.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Come back soon. We love everyone. Thank you for listening. Please continue to send in emails. scrubbingin@iheartmedia.com. We get a lot of messages about what the email is. So once again, that's scrubbingin@iheartmedia.com. Keep commenting on the Facebook group. I saw there were some meetups happening, so have fun. Yeah, there was a meetup in Philly, I think.
Philly, yeah. So I haven't been on Facebook since 2011, but my wife, Allison, is very active on there, and she loves the Facebook group. And everyone on there has been very nice to her, and I wanted to thank everybody for being so kind.
I would just like to say that Allison is in the building today, and she is so freaking adorable. Oh. And when I walked in, I was like, I know her, but I couldn't, like, figure out, like, when I first saw her face. I'm like, I know her. So, yeah, everyone loves you. Everyone loves both of you.
Oh, everyone loves
Allison love the Hillary Duff performance?
She did. Allison came with me to work today because she had the day off work. So she's sitting in the back room right now.
She said she loved it.
She said she loved it. She said, Easton sings a lot, but that was some of his best performances I've ever heard. That's exactly what she said, right? That's right. You can't say anything back. You have no, like, microphone.
She's nodding her head.
Yes.
Smiling. I think she's agreeing.
Shall we call time of death?
Yes.
It's such a
time
build
of death.
Up.
It really is. 11:48.
Oh, no.
No. Oh. It was so bad when I was, like, on...